We all face challenges, and this seems to be in challenging times in so many respects. And I was greatly blessed by this psalm, particularly the first couple verses of it. And I entitled the devotional, Continuing in God's Presence. So Jerry, your comment was looking forward to being present with the Lord. My thoughts today have been around the fact that our Lord is with me right now. And that has been a great, great comfort to me. And I got that from this passage. When you look at the first two verses, I'm going to really aim on this. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he gives his beloved sleep. That's the part of the scripture that this is a pilgrim's psalm ascribed to Solomon. It records the blessing of the Lord in our domestic life, just our life as we go about it. It's kind of everyday life. And it literally points to how children are such a blessing. And they were particularly in that culture because they were also provided the soul security and support for one when they grew older. About 300 years ago, it's over 300. I looked for it and I didn't find this book, by the way, The Practice of the Presence of God by Nicholas Hermann, he wrote this. He called Brother Lawrence, and it is, if you go to Amazon, you can buy the book for $2.99. So it's not a big purchase, and it's a little over 100 pages. And it is in English that you would expect 300 years ago. Okay, so not everyone's going to enjoy this book. But there are aspects of it that are a particular blessing. This man wanted to draw closer to the Lord and spent the last 30 years of his life separating himself as a monk. Now, I'm not advocating that as a lifestyle, and God clearly wouldn't want that for everybody. He wants us to be out in the world and preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel. But God used this particular man who dedicated his life in this manner in a powerful way, because now, over 300 years later, people still read his little letter that's in this booklet of about 100 pages, talking about how to experience the continual presence of God. And there's some great thoughts in the midst of this. When I read the book, I couldn't help but think about this verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and I almost brought my devotional on this, but I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, many of us have memorized that verse and quoted it at different times in our life. But if you really stop and think about this verse, it itself is a powerful challenge. Can you really say, you know, I was contemplating this verse and I said, can I really say this? The middle part of it, this part is where it gets to me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Well, I'll tell you what. You start thinking about your temporal issues and you have to stop and say, hold on a second. What's really important here? It isn't about me, and it isn't about you. It is about our Savior. And we really need to take a look here. It really ought to have a great impact on the choices we make. It ought to have a great impact on the joy that we radiate. Three things from the first couple of verses of Psalms 127. The first one is this. Give God the responsibility he wants. Now, I struggled with this phrase, and I tried to reword it, but I couldn't get it to be any better than what it is here. So this is what it is. But it says, unless the Lord builds the house. Okay, this is a message from God the Father to us. And he tells us, unless the Lord builds the house. What is he implying? Who does he want to be building the house? He wants to be building the house. Think about your life right now. Is there any clue that that's what's going on? That God is in the process of building your house? Unless the Lord guards the city. Can you point to any testimony in your life, anything that's going on that says, yep, I responded to this life circumstance because I know God is building my house. I know God is the one who's guarding the city. He's in control. I've given it over to him. Any indication? There ought to be. But I don't know how often there is. We so rapidly move into just ourselves. We just kind of focus on ourselves. Sometimes, may we wonder if God is really concerned. Ever had that happen? In the flesh, I have to confess that at times I get there. I wonder, well, God, do you really care that this is what's going on? Well, the obvious answer is yes. That's what he's all about. That's what he wants. He is concerned about every minute of your day. He's even concerned that you go to the vehicle and it doesn't start. And you're in a rush. Can you believe that? You go to the vehicle and you're in a rush to get someplace else and you know you've got to get there. And it goes click, click, or even worse, you turn the key and there's nothing. That happened to me just 2 days ago. It wasn't like it was clicking. There was nothing. You sit there and say, do I have the right key? Yep, I have the right key. The right vehicle? Yep, the right vehicle. It's just exasperating. But it isn't. Did God know that that vehicle wasn't going to start? Absolutely. So you got to step back and say, all right, Lord, this is an interesting detour. Which way would you like me to go? That's it. And it becomes what I have been purposing to do is to take this thought and remind myself that life is an adventure. And I'm looking for, all right, if I can't do it that way, that was what I thought I should be doing. What do you want me to do? And then I look for it because he provides answers. He is involved in our lives. He wants to know what's going on. He wants to get involved with our responsibilities. He literally wants us to surrender them to him. You know those things that are really pressing? I don't know about you, but one of the things I in moments like today where I was able to get a better perspective, I looked at the things to do list, and it's very long. Fact is, I have one on my iPhone and my iPad that syncs, so that's really good. I can keep track of it in a couple different places, different formats. And I have figured out how to bury the longer list and only bring up the ones that I want to work on for the day so that I don't get overwhelmed. Okay? Those are emotional, those are just techniques that help me keep a balance. I try to purposely only put things into this first category that I have at least a running shot at. But day after day after day, I get at best half of them done. And I say, Lord, I added more things, and this is true. I added more things than I checked off. And I say, which ones aren't important? At which time, sometimes it's helpful for me to say, Pam, have a seat. I'll pour the coffee. I want to walk you through the list here. You tell me what ought not to be on the list. Because sometimes you need another, set of eyes and another mind saying, no, you probably ought to ask somebody else to do that. Get that moved over there. But what's my point? It isn't my list. That's my point. And that's a huge point. It is not my list. I have been bought with a price. My entire life is not mine. It's the Lord's. He wants to build my life. He wants to build my home. He wants to build every aspect of this ministry. He wants to watch over my family. He wants to watch over my health and the health of those that I am very concerned about. Now, here's my question before I go to the next point. And I want you to pay very careful, because I'm not asking this hypothetically. I'm asking you to truly answer this question yourself. Not verbally, but answer it. Is there any part of your life that you refuse to surrender to God? Now, here's the realities. You might refuse to surrender a particular habit that you have. You might. You might not be willing to surrender a certain relationship, a certain pastime. And now I'm speaking as one individual who has been interacting on this very question. Be careful, because the area you do not surrender may be the very thing that will prevent God blessing your life. He does not want us to give partially ourselves to Him. We are to present what? Our bodies a living sacrifice. He's not talking about just our finger, or just maybe our left hand, not both hands. He wants all of us. And so my question to you is, give God the responsibility, and then when I say that, is there any part that you're unwilling to surrender? See, a lot of people have, you know, Sarah, you prayed about your marriage. A lot of people in their marriage will surrender everything, but not their marriage. Something has happened, and they're, no, I'm not giving that over. I'm holding on to that. What we're really saying is we don't trust God. It might be a habit that we've used for and abused for a long time. Okay, I'm going to go to the next point. When I read this passage, I saw these words. They're highlighted for you, but they kind of highlighted when I was reading it, so this is how my mind was working. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labored in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow, for he gives his beloved sleep. Well, here's the point. There is not one single hint that laboring, staying awake, in other words, working a long day, rising up early and sitting up late is wrong. There is nothing in this that would imply that. He's not saying that's the problem. He's saying the problem is you're doing it in your own energy. But that doesn't mean we ought to shut down and say, all right, God, you know what? I got a great plan for my life. I'm going to do nothing. Fact is, I am going to sit around and eat chocolate candy bars, popcorn, and drink Coke. Because I'm kind of fed up with the whole thing. Now, have you not been around people that have done that? Just literally shut down and just start eating, start doing whatever they do? That is not what it's talking about. He still intends for us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. He intends for us to engage life. He intends for us to be His ambassador, to present ourselves a living sacrifice, to be actively involved. But the point is, we need to give it to Him and let Him, it be His, our life to be His. And then we are to do our part under His direction. Does that make sense to anybody? So, I had a couple questions I generated for this. Two of them, actually. Are you doing your part to be the man or woman that God has intended for you to be? It's calling you to be, prompting you, nudging you to become. Are you doing your part to be that man or woman that God wants you to be? And you say, yes, 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 yes. Well, did you have a quiet time with the Lord and just, you know, just sat and talked with the Lord and asked the Lord to speak to your heart? Did you do that? The Word of God implies that that's a good thing. It implies that it's a good thing to be reading the Bible. It's a good thing to be praying. It's a good thing to be witnessing. It's a good thing to watch what we say. It's a good thing to say things properly. Are you doing your part? Are you faithfully caring for your responsibilities? That's my second question. If you're not, and God's not blessing you the way you would hope and think, the probable response would be, maybe you ought to start doing your part. That'd probably be a good idea. Just seems like it would fit. And then I will give you the last point, since I'm running out of time anyway. Rest in His peace. I love the way these first two verses end. Unless the Lord builds the house and your labor's in vain, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Responsibility is a heavy-handed word. People who take their responsibility seriously tend to worry about it to the point of loss of sleep. They generally work very hard, and they exert a lot of energy. They go to bed late at night. As I mentioned already, there is nothing that Scripture says that's wrong about working hard. But there is an important for us to recognize that there is to be a rest. There is to be a time where we just say, you know what? Some of you, us had the privilege of hearing Dr. Clearwaters preach. How many of us would that be? Okay. Remember how he would make this statement, and as a young Christian, this, and even to this day, I remember, I can hear him say this. He says, well, I run this ministry, and he would make statements like there's never excess, but always, I can't quote that part. But then the part that stood out in my mind, he was talking about how the money would come in enough to cover the needs, but the part that stood out in my mind, he said, when I go to bed, I sleep. I lay down my head and I sleep. More than one time in the middle of the night, I've said, Lord, I would really like to be able to stand before my congregation and say that. I really do. I stand before you tonight saying that I wish I could say that. But that's literally what I believe this psalm is saying. We need to have turned it over to the Lord, so no matter what's going on, we lay our heads down and we go to rest. And you may pray for me in this area. I'm working very hard on it, and I'm doing better. I can say that much. I am doing better. I'm able to say, Lord, here it is. I'm going to list them for you. And if there are things that I feel that are my responsibility, I say, I've already written down on the things to do list. I don't have to worry about remembering them. They will be on my things to do list in the morning, assuming no major electronic failure. I don't know what would happen if it was, but I've got it backed up in a couple sources, so I presume I'm covered. You know, when we talk about resting in Him, I am mindful of what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You and I can experience the presence of God 24/7. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what he wants. You and I can experience not only the presence of God, but the protection of God. You know, I thought about that. Over the last 45 days, there's two people that have been murdered a half a block from the house I live in. And both murders took place when I was in my house. Both of them took place in the afternoon. So it wasn't like, oh no, don't worry, it happened at night, and I'm not out at night. No, it happened during the day when I could have easily been down there, one way or the other way. Could have easily. One is on my walk to Cubs, half a block, right there in the alleyway there. The other one is walking towards the bus stop for the 5. But you know what? God is present. God is my protector. And I can. And I'll tell you what, I watched a video last night from Frontlines Missions on Asia and the situations that they were facing. It's a man I know, and in fact, is I almost went with him on one of the trips into Pakistan about a year ago. In the end, I was the only one that didn't back out. The other 5 that were going all backed out but myself. But at any rate, we can not only experience the presence of God, the protection of God, we can experience the peace of God no matter what our temporal circumstances are. He gives his beloved sleep. And my question on that, and I'll just jump down there. I had some other verses. This one, for one. You have been bought with a price, and so have I. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been bought with a price. Even if you don't, you were bought with a price, by the way. Psalms 135 tells us that he is in control. He is sovereign. And Matthew chapter 6 says, you know what? You think you got problems? It's not something he isn't aware of. Even the clothes and the food, he knows about the challenges of life. And he says, don't worry about it. Live for the kingdom. Live for him. Practice the peace of God. In this one, I've had questions for all the other ones. What should motivate us to depend on the Lord for help in time of need? What should do that? Well, I'll tell you what Christ has already done. That's the answer to that. It is what Christ has already done. In what specific area of your life should you depend more on the Lord and depend less on your own abilities? That's the challenge. Give God the responsibility. He wants your life. He wants to be in charge. He wants us to be a pawn in his process for life. He wants us to do our part. He doesn't want us to lay down and say, let go and let God. He wants us to do our part actively. He's called us. He's commanded us in so many different ways. And he wants us, at the end of the day, to rest in his peace, no matter what the circumstances. Remembering that this is not the main event. We're just a passing through. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share these truths. I pray that they might be encouragement to others besides myself, but even if they aren't, Father, I thank you for them. They have been such a blessing to me personally. I pray that you'd help each one of us to live in such a way that we are living aware of your presence, and in such a way that you are glorified and you receive the honor. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.